This is Scenic Roots, the Songbirds Guitar Museum and the two performance spaces affiliated with the museum on the campus of the Chattanooga Choo Choo is closing permanently on Saturday, August 15th. Our guest Brian Shannon, host and producer of the Songbirds podcast, which airs on WUTC on Friday afternoons at 2 o'clock, has worked at the museum first as a guide and more recently as their membership coordinator. Was that a shock to you?
Yeah, indeed it was. I had no idea. The writing, I guess, around us was on the wall once we initially closed earlier this year, once the first sort of wave of the shutdown happened for us. And then, you know, we closed recently for an additional 2 weeks once the mask mandate was put into place for Hamilton County. But, you know, we were still really moving ahead. We have, you know, shows on the books to do. We have a special event coming up on Friday with a contest winner who's traveling down to do a player experience with us, a young 18-year-old, fantastic guitar player. And did not expect that. We got called in for a meeting yesterday afternoon, and Johnny Smith, our president, communicated with us the very, very tough news and the decision to close the doors on the 15th.
Mm-hmm. And it's just because you couldn't bring people in through the door and so couldn't sustain the museum? Is that what it comes down to? It's as simple as that?
Yeah, it's a financial decision. Our lease here at the Choo Choo is coming up at the end of or in October, and in the face of really, you know, the declining numbers, it was not steady. It has been just an absolutely sharp, precipitous drop of attendees, not only in the museum just coming in to visit. This is normally our busiest, or has been for the last 3 years, the busiest time of year for us, just before school is starting back. But with the live shows, which was obviously a big part of what we were doing here with both of the stages, we were cut down now. You know, at our peak, we were running four to five shows, four to five nights a week, upstairs and downstairs at the north and south stages. And we've only been doing shows at the south stage at 50% maximum capacity since we've reopened. And we just have not had the attendance and the numbers here to be able to keep the doors open to sustain the business.
People are nervous about that. So you started out as a museum.
Right, we did. Whenever we first opened the doors, you know, really the main goal of opening this up here was to show off these fantastic instruments, this great guitar collection. And from there, it evolved. You know, we were run and led by people who were professional musicians and saw, you know, in with our space and what we had here, you know, this opportunity to be able to host live, great live music, and really put together for what I thought, you know, and I started here with the museum as a member before, as a customer before, you know, joining and working here. Saw what we were doing, especially with the upstairs, the north stage, was something very unique with being able to put on live performances, you know, in the midst of the heart of the collection itself, and have these great world-class performers come in surrounded by an incredible collection of instruments to play right in the middle of them. It was, you know, really, really special.
It did. It made a lot of sense. What you were celebrating with the museum became something immediate and real when you can bring musicians in to play in that space, and I'm sure they felt the same way, being surrounded by history like that.
It was remembering Sarah Watkins playing here very early on, and it was really the goal initially with the upstairs space was to create a listening room. Think of like an Eddie's attic in Decatur, or you know these you know quieter type rooms. And she was playing a solo acoustic show, and I remember she had started a song and she hit a wrong note, and she stopped, you know, at the beginning, smiled and said into her mic, she said, I guess my guitar is just a little intimidated. And then proceeded to play an amazing song. And you could watch artists. I watched Tommy Emmanuel on stage play here, one of our shows, you know, one of the first shows that we had here, and you could watch the artist's eyes, and you would see them looking at a case of incredible Rickenbacker guitars. So it created a very unique experience, not just for the people listening, but for the artist playing here. And, you know, as you know, with live performance, it's a feedback loop, right? You've got energy that the artist gives to the people that are listening, and then it comes back to the artist, and it gets fed back in music, and just it's, it was really, really special.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that always interested me about that space was that it wasn't designed as a listening room, and yet it had great acoustics, didn't it?
It did. We were very fortunate. Part of that was, I think, a happy accident. I mean, we have these Carnegie steel columns that run throughout the entire terminal station here at the Choo Choo. So you've got some really hard acoustic qualities that you think should make for a poor listening experience. But something magic about the room worked. And I know one of the other things, too, part of the design, the back bounce for the stage was reclaimed burned barn wood that had been reclaimed from a barn in northwest Georgia. And it still had the ash. Like if I walked out right now and ran my hand down, it's like the ash would actually come off on your fingertips. And I think that actually worked as a bit of a damper. So there was some you know, definite intended design to help there. But there was, I think it was also just kind of a, something we lucked into here with the room as well.
Brian Channon is our guest. In addition to being the membership coordinator at the Songbirds Guitar Museum, he also hosts the Songbirds podcast. The museum and the two affiliated performance spaces are set to close on August 15th, victims of the pandemic. But while the pandemic derailed the museum, it gave Brian access to artists who might otherwise not have had time to talk to him for the podcast.
One of the benefits, if you will, of a lot of these live, of these great touring national artists not being able to tour right now, if you want to look at a silver lining, is our accessibility to them. So one of the things that we've worked on here in developing is our podcast. And just in recent, really in the last 2 months, we've had some of the best guests for that experience that we've had in the history of our show. We had Brian Ray, an internationally known guitarist who's played with Etta James, Smokey Robinson, and Sir Paul McCartney as a guest recently. G.E. Smith played with Dylan, you know, Saturday Night Live band leader for years. We've had some really top tier people available to help out. I'm hoping we can continue doing that in some capacity. The brand is not going away. The foundation, of course, is still in operation as well too. So we will see. Right now, we've really just got our eyes on the 15th of August as being the date that we're going to close. But you know, there's certainly some time in between now and then to sort of sort out things and see what'll happen next.
When they hired you, as you said, you began as a member, as a fan. When mm-hmm. they hired you, how did they describe the job that they wanted you to do?
Yeah. Well, my first role was just as leading tours. That was I had a completely separate full-time job that allowed me to be back. I traveled during the week, would be home during the weekend. So my first role was just, hey, you are excited about these instruments and seem to know a thing or two about them. Can you come in and talk with people about them on Saturdays and on the weekends? So that was where it started initially. But whenever the opportunity presented itself to come on full-time, it was really to, I think, fill in some gaps for some things that I saw as opportunities to grow here. One of them was membership. You know, we have this great community of not only musicians, but also of people who appreciate and love music and history here in Chattanooga, and it was to try to help grow the membership program. So that was one of the things that was my charge. And then we were looking to try to, you know, do some things in the future in the way of these sort of rock and roll fantasy camps where people will go and get to play with an artist. We were, had it in the works. We were trying to organize one where people would not only have an opportunity to play with a top tier, top level talent, but to get to play with them on pieces from our collection, which would have been completely unique. So we have been working for a few months on trying to make that happen in a COVID world. And then the branding through our social, through our podcast and through our outreach, in media that way.
Well, it's a beautiful collection, but they are instruments. They are designed to be played, right? My guess would be that they're better instruments if they're played, as opposed to just sort of keeping them in a showcase. Is that true?
Absolutely. There's a literally a chemical reaction that happens with the body chemistry as it plays the fretboard on an instrument. It's made, you know, these are, you know, made of wood for the most part, and are made to organically interact with people. So they're absolutely made to be played, to have their hands on them, to be even down to the neck. And on a Gibson guitar, if you don't keep the proper tension with strings on it, it causes basically the guitar to warp. So they're made to be ready to play and played for sure.
So you have this wonderful collection of string instruments, musicians who want to come and play, and people who'd like to play with those musicians. What you don't have is a place to present them. What do you think is coming in the future? Have you any sense of that? Do you think that this is an idea whose time has passed, or is it just a hiatus for you guys?
I think for what was here, I don't think we'll see that again as they were presented here in this volume. I don't know the future. I know the immediate plans with, you know, there are two sort of families of instruments here at our collection. We have the ones that are part of Songbirds LLC. Those are ones we call those black card guitars here. Those are cards. If you come to the museum and you see the description cards, they have a black background. Those will all go back into storage, and then will be managed by the curator and the people who manage the collection offsite. The other guitars that are here are actually owned by the foundation, which is not going anywhere. The Songbirds Foundation, which does great work with the Music in Our Schools program, putting guitars in the hands of kids and giving lessons and things like that. The foundation guitars will go back into storage for the foundation, and they'll use those guitars at events, really as the foundation sees fit to still be able to work with. So those will kind of go to a separate place. As far as the future goes, I would have to think that there somewhere down the road will be, in a more limited way, an opportunity to display these in a way that others can enjoy them. We've had already today several calls about pieces from the collection, some people who are pretty well-known collectors in the country who have reached out to kind of see what's going to happen next. We have some celebrity instruments. We still have a guitar on display, one of B.B. King's original Lucille's that's on display up at the Ryman still. So my hope is that, and I think in trusting the people who are behind this, that they will still have a life after, you know, what's happening here, and they'll end here on the 15th of August here at Station Street.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Not only are they... they have both a sort of practical role, if you will. They're string instruments that you can play, but at the same time, they're works of art.
They are. I remember there was a musician I was talking with sometime last year, and he made a comment, you know, people really react to vintage instruments in a couple of different ways. On the one hand, you have people who I think fall more in line with you and I, where these are great works of art, these are, you know, precious pieces of history, and there are other musicians who really don't necessarily share the same appreciation. They you know, respect the instruments, but they're more about, they see them more as directly as tools to perform with. And then, of course, people kind of fall all along the way of the spectrum there. But anyway, the musician I was talking to said he was tongue-in-cheek, but said, a guitar museum, isn't that like going to an art museum that's just paintbrushes? And that comment, that haunted me, that stayed with me for a few days, because this has been my life. This is something that I've been very passionate about for years and been here at the museum. And it was actually my wife, we were talking, you know, days after the fact, and I shared with her, you know, what this artist had said and how it really kind of bothered me. And she said, I don't see it that way at all. She goes, if anything, I see the guitar museum as more like it would be like a NASCAR museum with cars. You have the cars and the machines that get people where they're going, but then you have the drivers, and that'd be the players, right? And she just said that very briefly, and suddenly all was right with the world again, and the paradigm lined up. And I was like, okay, I can, that makes sense. I can live with that. So
I'm sorry that everything has been brought to such an abrupt halt. I wish you well.
Well, thank you for talking with me and letting us kind of share about this, and thanks for what you're doing and what all the work that you do to help promote, you know, music here in the city. And I hope you will continue doing that, and we can hopefully have something else to talk about again, more positive in the future.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it was good to talk to you, Brian. And please
thanks, Richard.
Stay in touch. Ryan Shannon was the membership coordinator for the Songbirds Guitar Museum, which is set to close on August 15th. But Brian will continue to host the Songbirds podcast, which is also here on WUTC on Friday afternoons at 2 o'clock. Brian also conceived the Ultimate Player Experience, a contest offering the winner the opportunity to play some of the guitars in the collection alongside this man, Joe Bonamassa. Old Jeff Cruzan will be playing with Joe Bonamassa at the Songbirds Museum tomorrow morning. Later in the afternoon, he will record a song in a professional recording studio and will cap the day playing alongside Paul Childers in a tribute to Stevie Ray Vaughan in Songbirds South tomorrow night. For Scenic Roots, I'm Richard Winham.